For all of you that don't know me, my name is Cindy Borkovec. Just remember Cindy, because Borkovec is hard to say. So I was teaching the Book of Romans to ladies at a church in Virginia several years ago. And on my way to teach this particular passage, I was running late. And so I'm in my car, and all of a sudden I see these lights behind me. It's like, no. So I was pulled over. I was given a speeding ticket. And so I have to go before these ladies and tell them, as I'm teaching on this particular passage of Scripture, what I did. I would like to say that I've never had a ticket since then, but I'm still a work in progress. Apparently, I really like to go fast. I will say, though, that a couple months ago, Dave Love, our pastor, said that he was driving and he saw me driving and he was honking and waving, and I completely ignored him. I had my hands on the steering wheel 10 to 2. And I said, Pastor Dave, was I speeding? And he said, you were not. Praise the Lord. I didn't get caught again. All right. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Every authority that exists is appointed by God. That should give you comfort, because God is all-powerful, almighty God, and he's sovereign over everything that happens here on the earth, even our governing authorities. As I look at what's going on in our nation right now, this especially gives me comfort, because God has appointed them. And it goes on to say in verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, as I got the judgment of the ticket. Just going to say. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. Keep that in mind. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. This word governing authorities is the power and rule of government. Ladies, God has given us these authorities to protect us. He has brought them to us to protect our lives, our neighborhood, our livelihoods. And I'm just going to tell you, in this last summer, we saw what it would be like if we had no police officers who are governing us. Remember the two cities, Portland and Seattle, how they were taken over by Antifa. Do you remember what happened in that? They were destroying property. They were destroying businesses. They were looting and stealing. And they were actually destroying property or businesses of the people that they were supposed to be protesting for. Made no sense. But this is what would happen. We would have anarchy if we did not have these governing authorities to protect us. Does that make sense? Do you understand that? God has appointed them to keep order for us and to protect us. And if we resist them, there should be a penalty. I'm having a little bit of trouble now in our society because we're starting to see that penalty not happening as much. I want to tell you something about police officers. If you see my shirt, I am so thankful for them. In Boulder, a couple weeks ago, King Soopers, there's a shooting at King Soopers. And as the people were running out screaming, there was policemen running in. And Eric Talley gave his life that day to protect the people, and he was a police officer. Ladies, we should honor them for their job and their sacrifice. Our military, our police officers, our firemen. Whenever I see a man or woman in uniform, I go out of my way to go up to them and say, thank you so much for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. Because every day that they leave their home when they're on duty, they have no idea if they're going to return home that evening. So remember that they should be honored, they should be lifted up. I know that not every police officer is good, but we don't take down all of them just because of a bad few. There are many good police officers, and I want to tell you something. I know many of them, and many of them come to our church. Do you know that they have to pay for their own equipment? Christian Kinsman, who is now in the police academy, he has to pay for his own equipment, his own body armor. Shouldn't our taxes be going for that? Some of the other crazy things that we see? Again, this is disturbing to me, but remember to honor them because God has appointed them. And then it says in verse 5, therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. So don't be subject to them just because you're afraid of getting caught. But for conscience sake, we are to do all that is right before the Lord. We represent Christ in everything that we do. So we need to honor him. We need to be the best of all citizens here in America, in the town of Castle Rock. Then it says, for because of this also, pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Taxes, we love that word, taxes, don't we? All right, so it is not wrong for you in obeying the tax laws to take every exemption that you possibly can. Don't cheat on your taxes, I'm not saying that, but you shouldn't pay more than you should. So it's okay for you to get a good tax advisor to help you to pay what you should. I try to do everything I can within my power that my taxes are going to go towards good things, if I have any control over that. If I don't, then I know that God will deal with those that are using our taxes that are not in a proper way. Funding abortions, I have a big problem with that. Okay. So then it says, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I struggle a lot with our government right now. I'm just going to tell you. So I'm trying not to get in trouble here. But I disagree with most of them that are in power right now. I'm not talking about our police officers. I'm talking about our federal government. So... but it says, honor to whom honor. So if I were to meet any one of these, I need to show them respect and honor for their position that God has given them. Does that make sense? So if I were to talk to them and ever had that opportunity, I would come humbly, I would come respectfully, I would come with honor, but I would hopefully be able to tell them the things that I'm concerned about so that they would be able to listen to me and not be disrespectful. So if you have a boss that you don't like, you don't agree with, you still need to be respectful for that office. Does that make sense? So we also have governing authorities here in the church. Do you know that? So there be our pastors and our elders, right? And for the women that are in leadership, Mindy is our governing authority. And so we're going to honor them. We're going to submit to them as unto the Lord. We're going to show them respect. We're going to listen to what they say, and we're going to follow their lead. As long as they're leading us according to the word of God, which they are, then we're going to follow them. And if you're married, you have a governing authority at home. Don't you love that? I love that. So you need to submit to your husband as unto the Lord in all things and show him honor because God has given him that position over you in your home. Now, is there any time or any precedence in Scripture where it's okay for us to disobey our governing authorities? Yes, there is. And I'm going to go through a couple of those right now. You don't need to turn to these passages. You can just write them down in your notes and you can look them up later and make sure I'm telling you the truth. In Exodus chapter 1, Pharaoh told the Jewish midwives to kill all the firstborn male children of the Hebrew children, all the firstborn babies. And you know what the midwives did? They lied. And they said that the Jewish women are so vigorous and strong that we can't get there before the babies are born. They just give birth right away, and we can't get there in time to kill the babies. And do you know what? The Lord honored them for protecting these children. And these midwives defied Pharaoh. They defied the governing authority of that land. Why? Because we need to obey God rather than man. If we are being told to do anything that is contrary to what God tells us to do in his word, I'm going to obey God more than man. And I don't care about the circumstances, or I'm sorry, the consequences, because I want to honor the Lord. Joshua 2, Rahab. So Rahab the harlot, wouldn't you like that to be your last name? Cindy the harlot. That's just so sad. But anyway, so Joshua sends spies into Jericho. And so they're spying out the land because they're going in to conquer it. And Rahab hides these two men in her house, actually on the roof with stalks covering them. And the men of the city come to her and they say, where are the Hebrew spies? We know they were here. And she said, yeah, they were here. But they went out by this way, and if you hurry up, you'll be able to catch them. She lied. Okay, and that she is commended in Hebrews chapter 11 of being a woman of faith. And also that she had by Salmon, not sure how to pronounce his name, she had Boaz by him. And so he then had Jesse, and Jesse was King David's father. So in that line of Rahab, that God accepted her, and her whole family was protected by these Jewish spies and then by the army of Israel. So do we have anything in our history that's similar to that, where people may have lied to protect other people? Absolutely. Nazi Germany. And any of the places where the Germans had gone and occupied, they were going after the Jews. And many Christians and many people hid the Jews. Have you heard of Schindler's List before? How he gave these particular Jews jobs to protect them. And they were hidden in homes. Have you heard of Corrie ten Boom before? They came to their house and they said, do you have any Jews here? No, sir, we do not. But they were hidden, because these people feared God rather than man, and they protected the people of Israel, who are the chosen people of God. Have you heard of Obadiah before? Maybe not. 1 Kings 18, remember Jezebel? Oh, Jezi, the queen? She was very evil, and she was killing these Hebrew prophets, these Jewish prophets. And Obadiah, it says that he feared the Lord greatly, and so he hid 100 prophets in a cave to protect them. Their lives were spared. And Jezebel was the ruler of the land, but he defied her and obeyed God instead. Heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Familiar? Remember when we were little kids, we heard this story. I remember VeggieTales, watching it with my kids. So they were commanded that they had to worship King Nebuchadnezzar when they heard the trumpets and the flutes and the cymbals. And these guys said, we will not worship anyone except for the Lord our God. And they said that he is able to save us, but even if not, we will not bow to any other god, anybody else, but to the Lord our God. And we know what happened. They were thrown into the fire. And Jesus was with them in the fire. How cool is that? They were unharmed and they were unhurt. And they came out alive. And I'm going to tell you that we may be headed into persecution in this country. But I want you to know something. I can't promise you your body won't be unharmed. I can't promise you that. But I'll promise you this. The Lord will be with you no matter what you go through. And you don't need to be afraid. Stand up for what is right. Don't be afraid. Daniel and the lion's den. So Daniel was commanded, actually all the people were commanded to pray only to the king. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and when he heard that edict, he went up to his room as he always did with the windows open towards Jerusalem, and he prayed to the Lord our God. And he was thrown into the lion's den. The Lord shut the mouths of the lion, and his life again was preserved. How about the New Testament? Acts 4:19. You don't have to turn there, just write them down. Acts chapter 4, and you can read about it later. So Peter and John were preaching Jesus to the crowd, and they were taken by the rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and they were told, what? Don't preach in this name. And this is their answer. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which have been seen, which we have seen and heard. We must obey God rather than man. That is our precedence. So ladies, when this pandemic happened, you didn't hear me say that. When this happened in the world, and we didn't really know what we were up against, we didn't know what was really going on. Dave, our pastor, shut down the church for a while to protect us, and rightly so. And we were listening online, and we were kind of in our families huddled together. But when we got more statistics and really figured out what was happening, Dave opened up the church for us and said, come and be together. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, do not forsake the fellowship of the believers. And so he has said that he will never shut these doors again. Praise the Lord for our leadership. He has also said that when there's an edict that goes out in our nation that says that he cannot teach from particular passages from Scripture because there'll be hate speech, he says the very next sermon that he's going to preach is on those very things. I honor him for that. I'm so thankful to be under this leadership. Praise the Lord for our leadership here. Now, I want to talk to you about one more thing about using your citizenship, and if there's a precedence in Scripture that talks about that, and there is, just write this down, Acts 22, look it up later. So Paul was preaching, and he was bound with tongs, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that. Paul said to the centurion who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman, uncondemned? Is it okay for you to do this to me? I'm a citizen of the United States. Am I to not have a trial first and be condemned or not? And by that scourging, that's what Dave was talking about this last weekend. That's what the Romans were going to do to him with that cat and nine tails. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this is a Roman. This man is a Roman. Then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yes. Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman because he had bound him without charging him. So as we looked in our study, we know that we are under the Constitution of the United States of America, and that we are a government for the people, of the people, by the people, that we govern ourselves, and we elect representatives to represent us. So we have certain rights here in America, the right to bear arms, the right to assemble, the right of freedom of speech. We have the right of, and I just went out of my head, freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. That has been misinterpreted. So we have certain rights that we have as citizens of the United States. Use those for the kingdom of God whenever you can. Stand up for what is right, do what's right, and honor the Lord in those things. All right, I can talk about this stuff forever, but let's go on. All right, chapter 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. If you are loving other people, you are going to fulfill all the law and all the commandments. Even Jesus said this in Matthew. Now, Paul is going to talk about certain commandments, and they have to do with commandments of loving each other, things that we should not do so that we can love each other. You know, if you think about the Ten Commandments, it's not like it's this really hard, terrible, difficult things that the Lord asks, right? He says, hey, guys, could you just not commit adultery? Could you just not steal someone else's husband? Could you just not do that? And then he says, hey, guys, could you just not murder each other? Don't kill each other, okay? And then he says, guys, just don't steal. These aren't hard things. And then he says, you shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. These aren't difficult things that he's asking of us. They're what would be right in the sight of all men. They are the right things to do. And I talk a little bit, I mean, adultery is pretty clear, but murder sometimes catches people up. And I have friends that have been in the military, and they had to kill people. There's a difference between murder, which is premeditated murder, where you are murdering somebody out of anger, or you just don't like them, or you just want to kill somebody. But there is also the precedence of killing, which if you go through the whole Old Testament, you're going to see that God sent out the armies of Israel to kill their enemies. There's a difference. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Hopefully that's clear. Then it says, you shall not bear false witness. This is important that we are not lying about each other. We're not trying to get people in trouble or saying things about people that they did not do. In Deuteronomy 19, just write it down, and the judges shall make careful inquiry, and indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do him as he thought to have done to him. So if I were to lie and say that somebody murdered somebody and it was found out that I was bearing false witness, guess what? I would get the death penalty. Man, that would keep us from doing things like that quite a bit, right? If I stole something, then I would get the penalty. Or if I said somebody else stole something, I would get the penalty for that. All right, let's go on. You shall not covet. Ladies, coveting has been mentioned in Scripture as being a form of idolatry. Be content with what you have. And be thankful for your neighbor and rejoice with them for what they have. Know this, God will withhold no good thing from you. He will give you everything you need. And if you don't have something, it's because it would not be good for you. I would love to have a cabin in the mountains. God will not let me have a cabin in the mountain. Do you know why? Because I would be in my cabin in the mountains all the time. And I would not be here, and I would not be able to do the work of the ministry that God has called me to do. Ladies, be content with what you have. Worship the Lord. All these things are going to fade away and go away and be destroyed. And you are not going to be measured by all the toys that you have. It's your calling in the Lord and your treasures that you are preparing in heaven that are there for you. All right, going on. And there, and then this is after the commandments, and if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love other people the way that you would want to be loved. And we're even told in Scripture that we are supposed to love others the way that Christ loved us. It's way bigger than just loving ourselves. So keep that in mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Just like I said before, if you are truly loving others, you are not going to break any of these commandments. And remember the most important of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Going on, and do this, and I'm in verse 11, and do this knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. Knowing the time. Ladies, do you know the time that you're in right now? If you're listening to any of these godly Christian men that are talking to us about the end times and how we are being set up to go into the tribulation, you should be very awake and very alert right now, because our time that the Lord is coming is sooner than it was back in Paul's time. The time is short. The time is coming now. There's no time for you to be sleeping. There's no time for you to be in spiritual complacency. Wake up. I pray every day, Lord, set my heart on fire for you. Let my mind and heart be set and focused on you to do what you've called me to do today, whatever that is, all to your glory and all to your honor. The Lord is coming soon for his bride. The Father is soon going to say to the Son, go get your bride. And we're going to meet him in the air, and we're going to rise up and be with him forever and ever in his kingdom. And we are going to go to the marriage feast of the Lamb. Ladies, there is no time for us to be asleep. There is no time for us to be dabbling in things of the world that have nothing to do with the Lord our God. I'm going to talk about one of these right now that it's been around for a while, but it's starting to get really prevalent in the church, and it's being taught in our churches, and I've even seen it here a little bit on Facebook. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. If you have seen this, ladies, I'm not judging you. Don't hear it that way. I'm just being the watchman on the wall. I'm warning you about this. Have you heard of the Enneagram before? There's some nods here. Okay, it's a personality test, and it sounds kind of innocuous if you hear it. It's like, ooh, fun, you know, I can find out about me, and I can find more about me, and I can find out about me and my personality. But the problem with this is that it's steeped in the occult. This man that came up with these different personalities, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce his name right, but it's Naranjo is his last name. Have you heard of automatic writing before? Any of you? So it's where a spirit takes over your body and you just start writing whatever the spirit is telling you. And this spirit that he said was called Metatron. Now, doesn't that sound something like from the Avengers? Metatron, the evil man, whatever, robot. But anyway, so he starts getting all this information, and automatic writing is when spirits overtake your body and you just start writing whatever they say. This is where those nine personalities came from. And so you want to find your number in these personalities. But let me take it back, because you're not going to see it when you're looking at this on Facebook or anywhere else unless you dig really deep. And I'm going to tell you that what they teach is that when you were born perfect. You were born divine. You were born sinless. And then on the way through your life, through all the things that you went through and what mean people did to you, and I'm kind of exaggerating, but and then your sin and whatever, you lost your way from this divinity that you were born with. And so you find out the true person, the true Cindy. And as soon as you find out the true person who you really are, then you can make your way back to being that divine again. And you can relate better to God when you know who your true self is. Ladies, how are we born? In sin. I taught in Romans chapter 9. And we learned that all sin, because Adam sinned, and we all sin, and we have a sin nature. What is the only remedy for that? Jesus. Amen. It's his sacrifice in him alone, and our belief and faith and trust in him. He is the one that makes us a new creature in Christ. I don't need to learn about Cindy and her personality. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. I want Cindy to die. I want Jesus to live in me. I want to be everything that he died for me to be, and be that new creature in Christ. So be careful, ladies, what you are going and listening to on Facebook. There's also a spiritual gift test on Facebook. Have you seen it? So one of the spiritual gifts is force. I never saw that in Scripture, the gift of force. Is that like the force be with you, or... What it talks about is that you are just really strong and you can persevere through anything. You have the gift of force. I have no words. So just be careful, ladies. Whenever I'm looking into anything, an author, a teacher, any kind of stuff like this, I'm always going to Google this. I do Google it. and I say warnings to Christians about fill in the blank. Beth Moore, Priscilla Shire, Enneagram, anything. Look there. Get your information properly from godly people. Go to godly sources and see what they say about them. If you want any more information about the Enneagram or these people that I just mentioned, feel free to come up to me and talk to me about it, and I can give you more information. And you can also talk to Tammy Swafford about the Enneagram as well. Let's go on, because I will take again forever if I don't keep moving. So it says, and do this knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The night of this darkness and this evil that we're seeing even now in our world and in our very own nation is about to be done. The fullness is about to be done. The day is at hand. Whenever you see the day, typically this is talking about the day of the Lord, the return of Christ. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off these works of darkness, these things that I was talking about, and let us put on the armor of light. You need to be daily putting on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes for the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith and take up the sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith is what protects you from those fiery darts of the enemy, where he would try to lie to you, deceive you, cause you to doubt and fear. And take up the sword of the Spirit. Use the sword of the Word of God against the enemy and against the lies of the world. When Jesus was being tempted after 40 days of fasting, no water, no food. Can you imagine how weak he was then? But he used the word of God to thwart the plans of the enemy to cause him to stumble. Use the word of God. Know the word of God. Be reading and studying the word of God. You want a big sword. You want to be a strong warrior in the Lord. Put on the armor of the Lord, of the word of God, of the armor of light, so that you will be strong and ready for battle at any time. Do this daily. And then it says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. We learn many things as we are going through our study of what to take off. So take those things off, but mostly put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to take off those things that are of darkness and wickedness and evil, like it's a rotting corpse that you've been wearing around and you're just stinky and putrid. Take that off. If you think about it that way, it's going to be easier for you to take that off. You want to lay it down. And you want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the mind, the attitude, the spirit of the Lord of Christ. And make no provision for the flesh. Ladies, don't sit and make a whole banquet for your flesh. I always think of Jabba the Hutt when I think of the flesh. Big, gross, pink thing that's enslaving. And your flesh will enslave you if you allow it. But you are dead to the flesh and you're alive in Christ. So don't feed your flesh. Do the opposite of what your flesh is telling you to do so that you don't fulfill its lust. That's how you starve it. Don't give in to it. Don't feed it. When you are being tempted, when your flesh is telling you to just to be angry and lash out and just say filthy things you shouldn't say or get angry at your husband and say things you shouldn't say, what you do instead is that you just flow, let love just flow out of you, words of love. Take the way of escape that the Lord provides for you in temptation. If you need to leave a room, you need to leave a room. But don't feed your flesh, starve it. Feed yourself spiritually. Because if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap death. Ladies, as I wind up here, I just want to talk about, again, how important it is for us to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ for his coming. Dave talked about this last week in Isaiah 53, about Christ and how humble he was, and that he had no comeliness, he had no beauty that we would be drawn to him. He came as a man, and he came in a body that could be beaten and thrashed and killed. But I'm going to tell you, when he comes back again, he's not going to be like that. He's going to be almighty, all-powerful God. He laid aside his glory for that time, but he's going to have it all there when he comes again. So in Revelation 19, it says, and a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God and all his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Are you making yourself ready for his coming, ladies? And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Your righteous acts are going to clothe the bride of Christ, all of us. Think about that. I want lots of righteous acts. And then it says, and he said to me, and this is an angel talking to John, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am a fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. We are going to the marriage feast of the Lamb. But that's not the end of the story. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is Jesus. This is your Savior. And the armies in heaven, pay attention here, and the armies of heaven clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who is that? That's the church. Followed him on white horses. We're going to be following him on white horses. How cool is that? Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God, and he has a name, and on his robe and on his thigh a name is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Worship the Lord your God. Be ready for his coming. Be that watchman waiting for him, your eyes set on him, waiting for his coming. I pray that when he comes, he finds us doing the work of the ministry that he's called us to, and that we are not asleep in complacency. Our God, our Savior, is beautiful, and he is the most beautiful among all men. And we need to honor him as such, and we need to be ready for his coming. Ladies, we're going to listen to a worship song now that comes from Psalm 45, and there's other scriptures that they have in there. And this is Shane and Shane that is singing this. But I want you to take this time as we end to worship the Lord, be prepared for his coming, because he could come right now. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we were worshiping him when he came? And then I'm going to come up and I'm going to pray for you, and then you'll be dismissed to your groups.
My heart bursts at its base.
Father, thank you so much for sending your son. And thank you that you're going to send him again, and that he's going to bring us home to you, and that we're going to be with you forever and ever and ever, worshiping you, Lord. Father, I pray that we would not live lives here on earth as though you were not coming right away, but that we would be awake and alert and looking for you to come, that we would do what you've called us to do now, Lord, to serve you, to be light in this world, O Lord, and that we would bring many with us, Father, before the great tribulation. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us, Lord, to have your heart, that your will would be just written in our hearts, that we would do what you've called us to, Lord, that we wouldn't stand aloof, but we would come running, O Lord, to rescue those that are lost. Help us, O Lord, to bring honor and glory to you even this day. Bless us in our groups, Lord, as we talk about these things. And help us, O Lord, again, to just have that sense of urgency that you are coming and that there's so much left for us to do. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.